flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be here until 8 o'clock tonight at 6:20. Merrill Reese, the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, will join us to talk about the Eagles going to Super Bowl Sunday right here in New Orleans. Now it's time for our triple option feature. Myself along with Bobby Hebert, Charlie Long. Charlie, you up to bat first.
Guys, every Monday we've gotten an email from sportsbetting.ag, and they kind of rehash the latest updated odds for the coaching searches. And now it's down to just one coaching search, as we all know, the Saints head coaching search. And right now the latest odds have Mike McCarthy at 1-3, which is -300 odds, a very heavy favorite here. And then Kellen Moore at number 2, kind of a little bit behind him. And as you guys mentioned, it feels like it's a two-man race at this point, because Moore's at +250, 5-2 odds. And then after that, there's like Rizzi and then Weaver, Kafka, and then Kingsbury all the way at the bottom. But the drop-off from McCarthy to Moore is less sizable than the drop-off from Moore to, like, you know, Rizzi and Weaver and Kafka. So it feels like the bookies kind of agree with everyone that's been reporting on it, that it really is become a two-man race. Do the Saints go with the older, more experienced head coach and Mike McCarthy, the guy that's been there, done that for 18 years in the NFL, or do they try out the hotshot kind of young offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore? But outside of that, Rizzi, Weaver, Kafka, and Kingsbury, who have been tied to the job, it feels like they're kind of distant at this point from McCarthy and Kellen Moore.
Well, Mike and Charlie, I think if Coach Rizzi was going to be the head coach, I think he liked Coach Kubiak. That Coach Kubiak wouldn't necessarily have taken off to Seattle if Coach Rizzi was going to be the job. Now, I'm just speculating. That's my opinion there.
And a lot of people in Buffalo feel as though that maybe a deal has already been done, but you don't know about it. Joe was like, oh, I'm going to stay where I'm at. The also thing with Joe Brady, has he been told by management, man, Sean McDermott, he got to win. Okay, because, man, they got people out there. They want Sean McDermott fired. And you never know with an impetuous owner.
Because you might say, well, you're not going to win a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson. At least John Harbaugh won one with Joe Flacco. But Coach McDermott, that's even worse. They haven't won or gone to a Super Bowl.
No.
So that's even worse. No,
that's a lot of pressure on Sean McDermott.
But you know what's crazy? Sean McDermott, we get, you know, 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired every year.
He'd get another spot.
Yes, he'd get fired in the Bills. He'd get another job.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish we were, like, relevant.
People don't understand behind the scenes how a lot of things sort of work in the National Football League. Bob,
right. And, Mike, looking at the college football playoff is now over and the money involved. And how much money was at stake? About $115 million for the playoff field. You look at the whole field. Each conference gets for $4 million for every team that made the Final 12. Then another $4 million for those that made the quarterfinals. It means teams that earn buys are worth $8 million to the conferences without even playing a game. Now, teams that advance to the semifinals mean $6 million more for their conference. Then another $6 million for making the final. The reason why this caught my attention, because you look at conference play, because the Fighting Irish. Notre Dame, as an independent, gets to keep all $20 million it received for its title game run. They ain't sharing the wealth. So, Mike, you know everybody else, because you're in the SEC, Big Ten, and all that, you got to share the wealth. Well, not Notre Dame. They get to keep $20 million it received for the title game. Now, teams making the playoff get $3 million to cover expenses for each round that they advanced it to. So that's where we're at in college football, Mike. Money is always involved and is going to continue to grow. That ain't going to change. And then I want to
And we're going to see an expanded field.
Yeah.
That's right around the corner for us, that expanded field
so
from 12 to 14, 16.
16.
Yeah, I think that's what we're going to see very quickly.
Well, that's like what they did in 1AA. They had the 16-team playoff.
The same thing as 18-game regular season.
Yeah,
the players are against it, but they're going to kick enough money toward it. I'll do it.
Then they're going to end up going for it. And, Mike, I wanted to bring this up, too, and Charlie – that, you know, we always look at, like, how the NFL is growing because, you know, even the Saints, you know, they're like, okay, because the expanding into Europe and around international, around the world, okay, when are the Saints going to play in Paris, Florida Lee? It makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, we're playing in England. We're playing in Germany. If you look at it, the Bears and the Dolphins have the rights to Madrid, Spain. So why not the Saints in France? So looking at now the Jets and the Jaguars and the Browns, you know, the Jaguars are always part of that. The Jets, Jaguars, and Browns to play in London in 2025. Cleveland, Jacksonville, and the New York Jets each will play a home game in London in 2025. Their opponents will be revealed along with the dates and the kickoff times when the full schedule comes out this spring. We always love to talk about that. But the Browns and the Jets will play at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium this fall. Now, Cleveland is 0-1 in London, and having lost to Minnesota in 2017, the Jets, who are so, you know, you look where they're at right now, and Aaron Glenn, they are 1-2 in London, including a loss to the Vikings this past season. But you know who's really, who's this England embrace? Because they play at Wembley Stadium, the Jaguars.
Right.
The Jaguars and owner Khan, meanwhile, will return to Wembley Stadium as part of the multi-year agreement to play one home game annually across the Atlantic Ocean. Now, Jacksonville, Mike, I didn't realize they played this many games. They are 7-6 in London. They've played 13 games in London, including playing consecutive games. One is the home team, and another, they stay there as the visiting team in each of the last two seasons. Now, in 2025, though, they're only going to play, that being the Jaguars, Jacksonville, only going to play one game in London in 2025. And the moral of the story is that the NFL is continuing to grow, not only in England, Germany. You look at now Madrid, Spain, like I was talking about with the Bears and the Dolphins. And then also, and I could see the Saints in the future in my crystal ball, playing a game at Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah.
That the New Orleans Saints are playing in Paris and representing the new Florida League. You know, the old school Florida League before they had the French Revolution. But that's why we still embrace the Florida League because of the heritage of the founding of New Orleans. That's why, come on, we call Louisiana King Louis. and stuff. So it just makes sense, the Saints, to be part of France and promote American football there professionally.
Guys, we are watching history because most playoff wins by a quarterback in NFL history, Tom Brady's got 35. And it's going to be a little while. But you know who's in the two spot? Patrick Mahomes with 17. He overtook Joe Montana, Terry Bradshaw. Now, Joe had 16. Bradshaw, John Elway, Peyton Manning had 14.
Well, and
just
Mike,
think of that. And he's going to be 30 years old
in September.
And he's already got 17 playoff wins. He's got a shot to be down the line to catch Tom Brady.
The greatest of all time.
When you think about that, that's unbelievable. 17 wins, playoff wins by a quarterback who's not even 30 years old today.
Yeah, well, Mike, that's and if you look at like Brady's success he had on the back end as he got older, leaving New England with Tampa Bay,
yeah,
and stuff. Now, I'm not saying he got to play till he's 40, so let's just say, I don't know, Mahomes plays, he's 37, 38. That's like 7-8 more seasons you have to deal with him if you're in the AFC.
And deal with Andy Reid, too.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
Andy ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
He's staying as the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll be back, and we'll be joined by Merrill Reese, the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Living
when we get
legend
back here on the Big 870 WWL.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Zeros on the clock. The Flares fly skyward. And the Eagles not just beat, but annihilate the Washington Commanders 55-23. What a day. What a win. What a crowd. What a team. What a season. But it's not over yet.
That was the voice of the Philadelphia Eagles, the legendary Merrill Reese. We got him on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Merrill, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. And, man, you're living right. In a short period of time, now you get to call your third Super Bowl.
Well, actually, it's my fifth.
Fifth, okay. Oh, wow. But in a short time.
In a short time, yeah, you're right. The other one was, the last one was 2 years ago, and then the other one was 8 years ago, so it's three in a very short period of time. You're right.
Merrill, Bob and I were talking about this. Let's just hope it ain't like the one in 81, okay, because that one didn't turn out too well with Coach Vermeil and the Eagles. And good gracious, the Raiders that day, everything was clicking, and we talked about what a great story, you know, because of Jim Plunkett and what he was able to accomplish and get him that Super Bowl. But thinking about what the Eagles have went through in a short period of time, because Andy Reid gets fired, and then they bring in Chip Kelly, and then all of a sudden you got Doug Peterson, and then bang, Nick Sirianni comes in. To see the success and behind the scenes, what Howie Roseman has done to put this team continuously on track. Doesn't matter who the head coach is. He's got a loaded football team. He's really done a fantastic job. He's the unsung hero of the Eagles today.
Well, I don't think he's unsung in these parts, guys. I think everyone talks about Howie as a future Hall of Fame general manager. He's done some amazing things, and probably the biggest move in this past offseason was getting Saquon Barkley. I tell Eagles fans they have to wake up every morning, and the first thing they have to do is face towards North Jersey and say, thank you, Giants.
That was a hell of a deal there. And almost, I've done a few shows today. We talk about how the Eagles are now University of Georgia North. All the players from Georgia that have ended up also on that Eagles football team.
Yeah, there are quite a few, led by Jordan Davis, who was the first-round draft choice 3 years ago, and then last year, Jalen Carter. Those two are unbelievable. Carter has been a force. a tremendous force, and Jordan Davis is a great run stopper. But there are others who came from Georgia also, and it's really paid off.
Now, Merrill, when you look at does Jalen Hurts get enough credit now? I guess the one play, as a fan who don't have a dog in the hunt, I love pro football. It was a very entertaining game the last Super Bowl when the Eagles, played the Chiefs 38-35. But Jalen Hurts, you'd have to say, because I look at stats and all that, outplayed Pat Mahomes. Now, you got to look at the complete game, but that one fumble,
he
kind of stumbled to scoop and score, but he threw for 304 yards. He ran for 70 yards. He had 374 yards. Pat Mahomes had 226. You know, neither one of them threw an interception. But I'm looking at Jalen Hurts ran for 70 yards that game, and now you got Saquon Barkley. I think if the Eagles don't turn it over, they could beat the Chiefs. Now, at the end, it might be well advised to be up by at least two scores so the Chiefs can't come back, because, you know, the one-score games, it just seems like the Chiefs have a great opportunity to win. But I don't think people don't realize the last Super Bowl when they went head-to-head that Jalen Hurts actually outplayed Pat Mahomes, I think.
Well, he did. You're right, Bobby. He did outplay Patrick Mahomes. And you asked the question, does he get enough credit? It depends on whether they won or lost. But he is a great quarterback. He's a very cerebral guy. He's very quiet, very down-to-earth, not a guy who blows his own horn. But he's got a great arm. He's an accurate passer. He has the ability to run, and that was the big thing, that he had been somewhat nicked after the Rams game, and people wondered if he'd be mobile going into this game. Because when he's mobile, they have to play the Eagles as plus one. They have to bring another player to the line of scrimmage. And then that often frees up Saquon Barkley. But when he is just throwing the ball, it makes it a little tougher. But he can win with his arm, or he can win with his legs.
Merrill, one of the things, too, defensively, to have two rookie cornerbacks play at that level, like what Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean has done, and Cooper, he should have been a first-round pick, but because of the leg injury, and sometimes we see it happen, guys with injuries, they fall a little bit, and it happened to him. What two great pickups by the Eagles to get those two guys in the opening rounds of the draft, and now they're starting on a Super Bowl team.
Well, and they're like up for Rookie of the Year, except you got Jaden Daniels. But that kind of skills
them. You're right. Now, Jaden Daniels is a great player and will be for a long time to come, but look, you're talking about two great defensive backs. Cooper DeJean is outstanding. Quinyon Mitchell had his second interception, had no interceptions during the season, although rarely was he beaten, and they started throwing away from him. But he had an interception in the win over the Packers, and he had another one late in yesterday's game. So they're two outstanding young players.
Zach Bond, I think, is the talk, not only in Philly but here, of why didn't they work out here? And Merrill, you've been in this game a long time. You understand sometimes fit for a player is essential. It was the right fit, right coach. Vic Fangio kind of pointed out, that's the guy I think can really play well in my defense. He has been legitimately, he should be in the talk to be the defensive player of the year in the NFL.
Defensive coordinator. Yeah, Vic Fangio, right?
I couldn't agree more. You know, you talk about Vic Fangio, and he's great. You hear coaches use the expression all the time, I've got to put the players in the right places to make plays. And that's what he did. He put a Bond inside. He came here as a special teamer and an outside linebacker, and Vic Fangio looked at him and said, no, I think he fits inside. And from the opening game against the Packers in Brazil, right through the season, Zach Bond has been a playmaker. He's come up with interceptions, sacks, fumble recoveries, great tackles. He is a tremendous, tremendous player. He was first-team All-Pro. So that's how well he played, and I agree. He could very easily be the defensive player of the year. And another guy you didn't mention, but I should have brought it up when you mentioned the University of Georgia guys, a guy who really didn't produce last year, picked at the end of the first round. But again, Vic Fangio looked at him and said, he's a good player. We're going to work with him, and he's going to get better and better. And Nolan Smith seems to come up with a sack every single game.
You know, You know, Merrill, when you see Vic, tell him I said hi. You know, he actually, people don't know, he was like wet behind the ears, and he's like, I don't know, 180 pounds soaking wet back then, 170 pounds. You know, he just goes back with Coach Moore and the Philadelphia Stars and old USFL.
Right.
I played against them, and then, you know, then they were the Baltimore Stars, and then we played in 85. Then we all go to the NFL. Then we all with the Saints together. And he coaches the outside linebackers and Hall of Famer Ricky Jackson and NFL Defensive Player of the Year Pat Swillen. So it ain't his first rodeo.
So
Vic Fangio knows what he's doing.
You were at the Saints with Vic Fangio, right?
Yes, he was. He was, he was at Coach Sidwell, the D coordinator, and Vic Fangio was coaching the outside linebacker, Ricky Jackson and Pat Swilling. So this is late 80s now, Merrill. So.
Yeah, my son, who lives in California, watched the game on television yesterday, and he said Vic Fangio was on screen so much that I should tell him that he's the Eagles' Taylor Swift.
That's pretty good. Now, Merrill, how about to keep everybody happy or content? I think it was a great balance. Saquon Barkley, he got off. I mean, if you look at it, the very first play of the game, you can't get better than that. Takes it to the house, goes 60 yards for a touchdown, ends up with 118 yards. But A.J. Brown caught 6 passes, 96 yards, and a touchdown. And the rest is history. When you look, he's scoring 55 points. So they kind of shared the wealth. But I don't know. It'd be Coach Spags and the Chiefs defense. But pick your poison of what do you want to do? Because if they're going to try and stop Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts committed to the run, and you have an extra man in the box, then one-on-one, I kind of like what the Eagles have in A.J. Brown. And our boy from Emeet,
Devontae Smith.
So I'll look at that, and then now Hurts just got to be accurate with the football when it's one-on-one coverage. So unless they turn it over, I don't see the Chiefs stopping the Eagles.
Well, it's going to be tough. Yesterday, I said on the air, they had a 4th down and 5 early in the third quarter near midfield, and they didn't send out the punter. And I said on the air, to be honest with you, I said, I think they should punt right here. Because they're leading, and you're taking a big risk at 4th and 5. But if it doesn't connect, you're giving the Commanders the ball at midfield. The next thing I knew, Hurts was backpedaling. He goes downtown for AJ Brown and hits him in stride about 30 yards away. A magnificent pass that I know you can appreciate.
Merrill, one of the things is certainly a lot of talk here. The Saints sending a private plane to Philly to talk to Kellen Moore as a possible head coach with the Saints. Kind of give us a little bit of background. He's been there just 1 year, but what he's brought to the table here, and do you think he would be ready to be a head coach in the National Football League?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, he was the winningest quarterback in the history of college football. I think he was 50-3 at Boise State. And then he came to Detroit, and then he came to the Cowboys as a backup quarterback, and then he got injured, and then right away he was put on the coaching staff. He rose to the role of offensive coordinator. Then he was with the Chargers. Now he's with the Eagles. He's bright. He gets along with players. He's well-spoken. He's a leader. I think he'd make an outstanding coach for any team that's fortunate enough to get him.
Now, Merrill, when I look at this, and obviously you hear that chant, you know, E-A-G-L-S, Eagles, you know, and all that, and fly, Eagles, fly. But winning their only Super Bowl in 2017 season with Nick Foles, I thought this was admirable that they bring the quarterback back, and he won that against New England. But he was the honorary captain. So if Nick Foles walks around Philadelphia, does he have to pay for a meal or what? Or any the local folks take care of him?
No, I don't think he has to pay for a meal in Philadelphia. There's a statue of Nick Foles and Doug Peterson outside of Lincoln Financial Field, taken from the pose right before the famous Philly play at the Super Bowl 52. But Nick is a great guy, and he stays close to this organization, and everybody here loves him.
Merrill, thanks so much for taking some time to join us this afternoon. Always enjoy when you on. And, man, love to listen to you make those calls. And, like, if we do a Monday night game and the Eagles play, well, as I leave the casino, first thing I do is to find you guys on air because you do a fantastic job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I also appreciate Bobby because I always loved calling a game with Bobby Hebert. I think you were a tremendously skilled quarterback and a great leader for that franchise. So thank you for having me on.
Appreciate it.
All
thank
right,
you
Merrill,
so much.
Thank you.
Merrill Hodge, man, he does an unbelievable job calling the Philadelphia Eagles game. Merrill Reese has done this. Bob.
Old school.
Man, you talk about he's had some longevity in this business, and it's something you don't see a lot.
Well, the thing is, you can hear, you don't even know what game's playing. You hear it as
the voice.
Oh, that's the Eagles.
That's Merrill Reese.
Yeah, that's Merrill Reese.
That's the voice.
That's the Eagles right there.
When we come back, we'll have the color analyst for the Kansas City Chiefs. Danon Hughes will join us right here on Second Guess.
I don't know who that is.
Right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
You can doubt the Chiefs. You can dislike the Chiefs. You can disrespect the Chiefs. You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs being the first team in National Football League history to win back-to-back Super Bowls and go to the Super Bowl for a chance for a three-peat. The Kansas City Chiefs have just done something that's never been done. And the Kansas City Chiefs, Chiefs Kingdom Rocket, has gone past Pluto. The Chiefs win the AFC Championship 32-29.
We have on the line with us the color analyst for the Kansas City Chiefs, Danon Hughes. Danon, thanks so much for joining us. Man, and breathe it in. Man. You guys are living the high life in Kansas City, and it's an unbelievable ride for the city and everything else and for Chiefs fans across the nation. And there is something about us against the world. And I think for Chiefs, Andy Reid can sell that. He can sell that to his team that it's us against the world. Nobody wants to see us win a third Super Bowl. Let's go out and show them how good we are.
Well, I mean, let's face it. I mean, the referees, we paid off every referee, and then we paid off all the other owners of every team because everybody's involved in the conspiracy. And Roger Goodell, he's on the payroll as well. I mean, like, we got everything locked down around the National Football League that has guaranteed us this amazing run. Two Super Bowls now with an opportunity to make history. So, like, the conspiracy theories that are out there are amazing to me. And it just allows us, like you said, just to kind of soak things up because whether we are the new villains, which Patrick Mahomes talked about last week, so be it. If we got to keep winning and winning is going to produce us as a perception of being a villain, then I guess we're going to embrace the villain title and tag. So, I mean, I just love the fact, and I've been here since 93. I was drafted in 93, so I've been here over 30 years. We've had some debilitating losses. Some, you know, we went a stretch of 20 years where we didn't win postseason games. So, like, it's been long overdue to have the positive vibe and the positive aura that we have around the Chiefs Kingdom. So, everyone around here, we're just going to soak up this success and hope that we can continue on the historic path.
Well, you know, when I look at it, all I know is at the end of the game, you better be up by two scores versus the Chiefs. If it's one score, I'm not betting against Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs, considering how they always get it done. But you look at 2 years ago in Glendale, Arizona, a very entertaining game. Kansas City beat the Eagles 38-35. And to me, it was a Super Bowl classic whenever it's that type of game. But what can you remember about the Chiefs rallying? It was 24-14 at halftime, the deficit. And then all of a sudden, they take a 35-27 fourth quarter lead. And then the 27-yard field goal by Butker with 8 seconds left to win it. But that's why if it goes to one score, I mean, everybody, their sphincter starts puckering up. It's like, oh, no, I don't know. We're gonna be able to handle this and stuff. So I said, the moral of the story, if you're not up by two scores at the end of the game, that the Chiefs are going to end up winning. It's just what they've done as of late.
Yeah, so here's the deal. We've been around this league, and you guys have been around and watched a lot of teams, good teams, teams that are supposed to be good. I mean, we've had years where maybe not while Patrick Mahomes has been the quarterback, but we went years where we were supposed to be at the bottom of the AFC West, never mind the AFC conference in general. And you had all these so-called experts that would take shots at us and and just kind of throw darts at us. And now we're in a situation where we are the cream of the crop of the AFC West and the AFC conference in general. And it's just because we know how to win games when there are a lot of teams that figure out ways to lose. And I always bring up this reference, especially over the last couple of years, of Brendan Staley was the coach of the Chargers. And he got a lot of flack for rolling the dice and going for it on fourth down. Heck, there were multiple games where we beat the Chargers when conventionally, if they didn't go for it on fourth down once or twice, they probably would have beaten us four or five times. But nevertheless, that's a perfect example of somebody figuring out ways to lose while Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo, Matt Nagy, before him, Eric Bieniemy, we are just an organization that has figured out ways to win. And if that means we're going to be down for most of the game and then have an opportunity in the final minutes to go ahead, what you see with the Chiefs is just an even-keeled mindset on the sideline. Nobody's throwing things. Nobody's complaining about not getting the football. No, you don't see Patrick Mahomes slamming iPads and screaming at players. Guys don't need to be separated. You don't see any of that. They take on the identity of the coach, and Andy Reid is what you see by Andy Reid. So, like, there's just that innate ability here with Kansas City that there's never a time that we're going to be out of it. Think about the Buffalo Bills game back in 2020 in the playoffs. 13 seconds left. People leaving the stadium. Heck, we were in the booth, and I was trying to think up some positives that we can end the broadcast with because we were just in line to lose that game. 13 seconds left, and we're able to drive the field to get a game-tying field goal. Like, there's just a knack, and that's what's special to watch with this Chiefs team, in knowing and being comfortable no matter where you are, no matter what's happening in the game, the ebbs and flows that we're going to figure out a way to win, and that's what they did last night.
You know, when you look at, like, players stepping up and, you know, where they drafted and, you know, their potential with a particular organization, talk about individuals stepping up. Look at Xavier Worthy. I mean, mm-hmm. Here's as fast as they get in the NFL, 6 catches, 85 yards, and, you know, he scores for the Chiefs. But that's just an example that somebody, I'm telling you, is going to make a play for the Chiefs look who's made a significant play in the Super Bowl to help them win or to keep them in the hunt. It just seems like they always do that.
Dana, tell Bobby exactly how the Chiefs got Xavier Worthy. From which team did they trade up to get him? The Buffalo Bills. Think of that.
The two biggest blunders in draft history that involves the Chiefs or involves the Buffalo Bills is that they traded with the Chiefs and we got Patrick Mahomes, and they also traded with the Chiefs and we got Xavier Worthy. So although, you know, Josh Allen is an incredible talent, Bobby, you know that is better than anybody, I'm sure, as a former quarterback. Like, I'm sure they're probably regretting at least one of those transactions. Like, at least one of those transactions they would probably like to have back. But the fact remains is that you got a rookie. Rashee Rice went down early in the season. Season-ending injury. We were scraping the bottom of the barrel in regards to weapons to surround Patrick Mahomes. We went on the block and got DeAndre Hopkins. Hollywood Brown was injured for most of the season until the last game of the year, the last couple of games of the year. We had guys shuffle. Sky Moore injured at the end of the season. Mecole Hardman out, injured as well. And now all of a sudden we had a resurrection at that wide receiver position, and Xavier Worthy has been the constant. Last week against the Texans, he's the only receiver that caught a pass. The only receiver that caught a pass in a playoff game. Travis Kelce and him and a couple of running backs. That was it. This week, he had those catches and that touchdown all in the first half and didn't have another catch or a touch in the entire second half of the game. Somebody else stepped up when it was necessary. So, and that's kind of been the DNA of this team, is that although Xavier Worthy has been one of the leaders and definitely been a bright spot as a rookie, and we appreciate the Buffalo Bills giving us that gift. I don't think they appreciate it, but I do. But yet at the same time, that's the fun thing about this team, is that we're able to watch different guys shine and still get the victories.
You know, it's a fun thing about, I was telling Mike this, about both teams. A lot of history, you know, I love history, and I'm looking at New Orleans. Both the Chiefs and the Eagles had their first ever Super Bowl appearance in New Orleans. Kansas City, yeah. Remember Hank Stram and Len Dawson?
Yep.
Played in the Super Bowl in 1970 at Tulane Stadium, the first Super Bowl in the Crescent City, to beat the Vikings 23-7 in the Eagles. And that was old Dick Vermeil and Jaworski, Jaws and all that, lost 27-10 to the Raiders in 1981. So, and you know, you always remember your first kiss and your first love. So it went really well for the Chiefs coming away with that big win when they didn't think they could beat the Vikings then, and they did. Coming back to New Orleans. You know, ownership always looked at the Hunt family. Obviously, you know, the old man, I was not there anymore.
Yeah, Lamar.
But if you ever pass stories, oh, let me tell you about New Orleans and what happened there. And so a lot of history for both Philly fans and New Orleans coming to, I mean, and Kansas City coming to New Orleans.
Dana, one of the things, too, is that everybody here is about, oh, it's where you pick in the draft. Look what the Chiefs have done over the last 3 years to retool this team, done 90% of it through the draft. Look where they picking every year. At the bottom. And but look how good Vesh has been able to get players each and every year. Impact players via the draft. And that's football minimum wage when you get rookie players. I think that's a real big key to the success of the ongoing of this franchise, is because how well they have been able to draft. And they're not picking 5th or 10th or 15th. They picking
28,
that
29,
first
30th,
number is a 30, 3 32. Or 28, 29 in that range. That is, to me, the story behind the story with the Chiefs.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've seen throughout the course of history in the NFL, not many teams fare well, at least especially consistently, by trying to go the route of free agency and paying guys to come from other teams and building teams. What we've been able to do with the draft, and this is where you got to give credit to Brett Veach and the scouting department, is that, remember, when Tyreek Hill was traded, everybody thought that we were going to be the dreaded R word, the rebuilding mode. And what we were able to do is utilize those picks to get an all pro in Trent McDuffie, another pro bowler, or I should say all pro in George Karlaftis, or at least up and coming one. You got Sky Moore in that draft. You got Jalen Watson, who's a starting corner, really elevating his game to being a shutdown guy. Joshua Williams, another corner in that draft. You got guys that are in their third year, all they know is Super Bowls. And the great thing about this organization in roster building is that they throw those rookies to the fire. Like they put, like you mentioned, Xavier Worthy. He's been inserted in the offense the entire season. Trent McDuffie, George Karlaftis, Brian Cook. The list goes on and on. And there's one thing. It's one thing about drafting guys and getting the talent right. You definitely have to get the talent right. But it's also another thing to throw those guys out there. Not make them part of packages. Don't spoon feed them into the offense or defense. You throw them out there, coach them up, and then you get the rewards from coaching them up. So I give credit to the entire organization, the coaches that are coaching up the young guys, but then the guys that are evaluating the talent and getting them to the point that they can play championship football like they are.
Well, Dana, I'm going to let you go on this. I'm going to give you a homework assignment. You know what's the greatest thing that I've witnessed, and to be able to handle adversity? Now, this is a dozen years ago. Steve Spagnuolo, Coach Spags, probably coached the worst defense in NFL history a dozen years ago, 2012 with the Saints, where he was horrendous. And then now he's with the Chiefs and what he's done. He's like he'd be a defensive coordinator in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Just look that up. That's not an opinion. So it's how you handle adversity and how you put the pieces of the puzzle together. It didn't happen in New Orleans, but it's happening with the Chiefs.
Man, he's done a fantastic job there. Danon, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. We'll see you next week here in the Big Easy.
All right, Danon.
All right, looking forward to it.
All righty. The color analyst for the Kansas City Chiefs, Danon Hughes. You also hear him on the Big Ten Network. He covers... He's been, Bobby, played pro baseball with the Milwaukee Bucks, Brewers, and also played pro football. Not a lot of guys can say that.
That means he's a stud.
We'll be back to finish it off here on Second Guess right after this break on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here, our number three of the Second Guess show, Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. One more hour of Second Guess here at the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. We'll have on with us Jeff Nowak, who's in Mobile, covering the Senior Bowl. Also get his take on the Saints head coaching search. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL.